Peter Smith is a 30-year veteran of Twin Cities advertising and a regular contributor to Morning Edition on Minnesota Public Radio. He writes magazine features, fiction, and occasional op-ed pieces, and is the author of A Porch Sofa Almanac. He has a new book out, put out by the University of Minnesota Press. It's called A Cavalcade of Lesser Horrors. Peter Smith is back with us on KEXE. Peter, thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me, Heidi.
Speaking of real good words, cavalcade is such a good word. I wonder if you'd kind of describe what this title means, because it really does embody these essays that you've written.
Well, the cavalcade is kind of the way that these incidents from your past kind of come cascading, would be the other word, I guess, back. These lesser horrors. You'll be lying in bed, and all of a sudden something that happened 20 years ago in a meeting or maybe in high school is right back with you. And you thought it was resolved, but no, there it is. It's still gnawing away at you. And the cavalcade is the kind of the way they just kind of happen one after another, these lesser horrors, these moments that somehow stick with you. So the cavalcade is just that, my own personal parade of, you know, ugly little incidents, if you will.
When you mention what you mean by that, just a couple days ago, I had a conversation with somebody, and we remembered something from junior high that still sort of sticks with us and bothers us. We had both had the horrible experience of like being in a big group, you know, in a room where we sat on a chair that broke when you were like 13 years old. And how embarrassing it was, and how it still just bothers you to this day. And it's not something I think about much, but it is. It's sort of that in-between time where some of those things, they still just sort of mortify you that they happened. And they're not a big deal, but they kind of bug you.
Yeah, you know, there's the things that mortify you, and then almost as strong are the things that maybe you did. Looking back, you wish you'd been nicer to someone, or something you did embarrasses you or haunts you. So it works both ways, mm-hmm. and they all come, you know, all these things come kind of sliding back in. Like I say, late at night when you're just kind of trying to go to sleep and you go, oh, did I really do that?
You know,
or, hey, why did that person, you know, why did they decide to do that to me? Those are our horrors, for sure.
Well, one of the stories that immediately reminded me of the story I read of yours about Steve Gary.
Oh, yes. Yes. You know, Steve, yeah, a little, you know, we're kind of the biggest kids in, I guess it must have been second grade, so in parochial school. And Steve was right next to me at First Communion after Sister Clotilde told us not to touch the communion wafer. Steve kind of, he got that communion wafer on his tongue, and he turned to me and had this, you know, here's a good word, querulous look on his face, and he picked that communion wafer out of his mouth and winced at me, you know, holding the wafer, and of course, I had to rat him out, you know, his sister. I still haven't forgiven myself for ratting out poor Steve.
Tell us a little about, Cavalcade seems to also describe your writing process for this in some ways. Because you say in your preface about sitting at your keyboard and watching these stories, these essays kind of give birth to themselves.
Yes, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine who'd read the book, and he said, you know, this is really a book about writing, don't you? And I guess I did, although until he said it, you know, it really hadn't been verbalized. And I think that these moments kind of resonate more with, you know, writers. They maybe stick in mind a little more, the motivations, you know, the introspection that goes hand in hand with that is really fodder for a writer. So writing these little moments in sequence from early childhood till misspent youth in advertising, whatever, you know, they it was an exercise in really trying to say it as well as I could, to focus, to refine the writing. So lesser horror, in a lot of ways, equals exercise in writing. I'd thoroughly recommend it to anybody that writes. You know, to kind of it's an opportunity to examine your conscience and purge your soul, if you will, through writing. So, they go hand in hand. They really do.
A lot of this we get to know about how you became who you are now, your childhood. Tell us a little bit about where you grew up and your family.
I grew up, I was born on the south side of Chicago, and I'm a true blue baby boomer. I was the second of nine kids. My mom was Irish, and so was my dad in a lot of ways. So south side Chicago, Irish, but we moved to the suburbs and grew up in a town called Libertyville. And, you know, there's always, the way I describe it is my parents were recidivist reproducers. There was a new sibling every 15 months there, from, you know, the Roosevelt administration, all the way through to the Kennedy administration. And the house was crowded and, you know, just noisy and everything else. And when it came time to go to college, I did everything I could to get as far from there as possible and wound up in Minnesota at St. John's. And, you know, I'm just fell in love with Minnesota right away. Got a free all-expense-paid tour of Southeast Asia, courtesy of the United States Army, and came home not to Chicago but to Minnesota and put in a pretty good number of years writing advertising out of the cities. But ranging all over the state, taking it in, and just enjoying the people, the regions, the diversity, the wonderfulness of Minnesota. And maybe 7 or 8 years ago, I wrote an essay. But I've been doing essays off and on for magazines and this, that, and the other. But I wrote an essay, and Minnesota Public Radio picked up that essay and recorded it, and that kind of blossomed into this thing with NPR now, where I will do essays every now and then about, you know, well, my agreement with them is that I should try to keep it about Minnesota. I like the fact that they said try, because that's a little more freeing somehow. But and from there into the Porch Sofa book, which is an anthology of those essays, and from there into this book, which is slightly longer essays. So that's the story in a nutshell. I consider myself a Minnesotan now, if Minnesota will have me, but there's still little pieces of Chicago there, certainly a lot of Irish Chicago in the mix as well.
As a writer, is writing for radio something you enjoy? How is that different from other writing you've done?
Well, I think the challenge to writing for radio is writing to an acceptable length. I think a lot of writers or would-be writers don't have that kind of clock in the head that you get when you write advertising. And so, again, the challenge in radio would be to write something probably no more than 3 minutes in length, because that's about optimum length for a story or a commentary or an essay on radio. And, of course, in advertising, anything more than 30 seconds is a wasteland. So I can write to length, and I enjoy the challenge of writing to length and hopefully finding ways to either interesting or amusing, a little bit wry, having some fun with it. Radio is a wonderful medium if you're inherently a writer and a passive aggressive one at that. You know, you get to kind of goose the system, if you will, if you play your cards right and don't use any bad language.
We're talking with Peter Smith about his new book that's out, published by the University of Minnesota Press, A Cavalcade of Lesser Horrors. Tell us a little bit about your dad. He was also a writer. He was a newspaper man.
Yes. Yes, my dad, when I was born, he was a nightside police reporter in Chicago. Some of my earliest memories are of him rolling a night's worth of cigarettes. He'd smoke Bull Durham, and he'd roll a whole pocket full of Bull Durham cigarettes and get on the train and go downtown, and he would ride from police precinct house to precinct house just to see who they'd arrested and what was going on around the city. And from there, he rose. He became a reporter. He covered a number of famous stories and wound up having a column in a newspaper called the Chicago Daily News for a while. And then he went to TV news. So I had the wonderful opportunity from early on to watch newspapers happen on deadline in a big city. Some of my fondest early memories are being in the newsroom at the Chicago Daily News as they put the last edition of the day to bed, and it was just amazing work. It was also a really good training ground. If you're going to be a writer, it helps to learn to write a really tight journalism style, at least the kind they wrote back then. I don't think they do it as much anymore, but once you have a fundamental sense of that style, then you can go out and build on it, come up with some variations on those writing styles, and make something of your own. So I was lucky. My dad was a good, solid writer, and he rooted us in, you know, some really good fundamental writing styles. We were able to go from there.
Is that why you wanted to become a writer, would you say?
I think at some point it just kind of kicked over. I don't think I ever said I want to be like my dad. I can remember one day just all of a sudden having this epiphany that, yeah, I was going to be a writer. And I knew early on that I had a kind of a knack for it. As a junior in high school, one of the few times I ever applied myself in high school, I really sweated blood into a term paper for an English course, and I got it back, and the teacher had flunked me. And I knew I hadn't done that badly because all my friends were idiots, and they all got at least C's, and here I was looking at an F. And I went up to him and asked him what that was about, and he said, "Well, you didn't write that; your father did." And so I had to go back to my father and kind of get him to explain to this man that he didn't have the time or inclination to ghostwrite on 11th grade term papers for large indolent youth such as his son, you know. So,
wow.
So anyhow, I knew early on, even before that this is where I would get somehow, that was a writer.
Peter, are there parts of your life, because you go to different times in your life, different things that you're doing that are more difficult? Was it hard to write about going to Vietnam or that kind of thing? Because sometimes people have a hard time talking about it, let alone writing about it.
You know, I think there are different levels of difficult, Heidi. I think there are difficult situations. Vietnam was not the pleasantest of places, but I think there are other parts that were perhaps more painful even than Vietnam from the writing point of view. I would say that Vietnam itself, as hard as that was not as painful or as fertile an area to write from as perhaps the alienation that Vietnam generated. Without opening up that whole Vietnam thing, if you went to Vietnam or if you were on the way to Vietnam, you're kind of ostracized, not intentionally, but you're all of a sudden transparent. You were no longer relevant to a lot of people. And coming back the other way, what happened in Vietnam was not particularly relevant to a lot of what was going on with people back home. Well, once you got home, they would look at you as you were a curiosity, but only briefly, and then it was back to them thinking about and worrying about their own lives. So I Yeah, I think that the pain of kind of assimilating after that experience was probably the most painful part of the whole thing. If you were to ask me, you could look at some of these lesser horrors. We should tell folks are lighthearted. This is not necessarily a morose or a morbid kind of a thing. There's some funny stuff, and then there's some stuff that's perhaps a little darker.
You write about being surprised by remembering some of these stories in your life. Is there one you'd like to share with us? Maybe a lighter one, so people get an idea of what's in the book.
Yeah, I think my favorite from the lighthearted side is working with my father, or actually having him kind of step out on a Saturday morning, which he would do maybe once a summer, and all of a sudden decide to that he had to tune up the lawnmower. And he never mowed the lawn, so he had no sense of, how the lawnmower worked or how it responded or how to start. He knew you pulled the cord, but any of the finer techniques of starting that particular engine, you know how a lawnmower engine can get quirky. He had no sense of that, but all of a sudden there he'd be. And as soon as he stepped out of the house, however many of us, and remember there were 9 in the house, whoever saw him would just try and disappear as quickly as possible because they knew that he was going to take on the job of fixing this lawnmower, which wasn't broke, and he would always get somebody to help him. And more often than not, it was me. I would be stuck watching him try to fix this unbroken lawnmower and praying he wouldn't really mess it up. So it'd be 2 hours of insanity as he unbolted stuff. He always had a coffee can with gasoline in it, and washing parts in gasoline. So it was always a wonderful experience to see the lawnmower actually get back together. And then when he couldn't start it, he'd say, "You try." And if you were lucky, the techniques that had started the engine before he started his operation would get the engine to start again, and there, it sounds better, doesn't it? You know, and so that would be one of my lesser horrors, watching him try anything with wrench, pliers, anything at all. So those are the fun ones. Another one, if we have time, is growing up Catholic, there was this your mother would make you go to confession on Saturday afternoons, and in Libertyville, every kid in town would be at church going to confession. There'd be long lines, and there were two fairly young priests, and they would have the long lines, and if you really, really wanted to get out of there quick, what you could do would be go to a deaf priest, an old deaf priest, who would make you kind of speak up, and in the process, you're yelling your sins for all your friends to hear. It was a nightmare. It was a lesser horror, but you walked out semi-clean, semi-forgiven somehow,
That's Peter Smith. The book is called A Cavalcade of Lesser Horrors, put out by the University of Minnesota Press. Where can people find information online?
Well, the University of Minnesota Press's blog is there. I also blog. I'm blogging at Peter Smith Writes. blogspot.com and kind of kicking in there, and there's usually a post of the latest readings and signings and things like that, and so those are probably the two best places to go.
Sounds great. Well, it was great to talk to you again today, Peter. Hope we can do it again soon.
I hope so, Heidi. It's always good to hear from you.